This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I'm Bone.
And I am Beam.
Plenty to get to today. This is a little bit of a sad podcast day, I gotta be honest, because we are recording this on the first day of the World Cup since it started, where we haven't had a game.
Yep. I don't know what to do with my hands.
I know. No games on Wednesday or Thursday of this week. Action resumes on Friday with quarterfinal action. Getting down to the meat and potatoes now, as they call it, Beamer. That's exactly what Gianni Infantino calls it, the meat and potatoes.
All potatoes, no meat. That's how I prefer mine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Me too. All potatoes, all the time.
Because I'm a vegetarian.
Ah, is that new breaking news?
No, I'm not a vegetarian. Okay, we do meatless Mondays, though, at our house.
You know what? I've wanted to go more of the... Send your vegetarian recipes at Bone Beam United, because I've wanted to try a few. Because I've started realizing...
A few for you.
Like, cheese is vegetarian.
Yeah.
Not vegan.
No.
But vegetarian.
Vegan is a whole different...
That's a whole nother... Right.
It's a whole different line of thinking. Vegetarian... Great vegetarian meals that we can make at home that they're very easy and decently healthy. And I always find myself saying, boy, this would be good with some roasted chicken on it.
Yeah. Right. Sure.
But we do try. We're trying
that's
to do
good.
A little bit more.
I think that's good. I think it's good to experiment and try new things.
Peanut butter and jelly, vegetarian.
For example, it might be good to occasionally try to play Gio Reyna. Occasionally, if you're, you know, used to not playing him, say, for the national team, maybe play him sometimes.
Maybe occasionally to try to bring Cristiano Ronaldo off the bench.
Oh, hey, that's a thing you could try, too. Yeah, to bring it back to more current events. I'm still just salty about the U.S. So here's what's going to be. This is our first podcast we've done since the World Cup previews that we were doing. I mean, this is a long time we've been doing this. First podcast we're doing where we're actually just going to talk about the World Cup, yes, but also plenty of other things, including... That the Ronaldo situation, we'll get into that.
No,
we are going to talk about will Fred Nancy, the new head man for your Columbus Crew, we'll talk about that later in the show. What we think of the hire and what that means for this roster going forward. But we are going to, of course, get into the World Cup. If you've been enjoying all of our World Cup coverage, or even if you haven't, give us a follow on whatever you're listening to right now. If you have like Spotify, I think you can like follow us, you can subscribe if you have Apple Podcasts. But that way you'll get every podcast we do and they'll come right to your device.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah, whether you like it or not. In fact, you probably won't like it, but we're going to bring them to you anyway. That's what I say. So we'll get into all that today. And of course, you can also follow us on Twitter at Bone Beam United. Like I said, tweet us your vegetarian recipes because I would like to check some of those out. I may make one or two this week. We'll find out.
Bread, vegetarian.
Yeah, right. I can do bread all day. Mm-hmm. Love bread. That's great. So let's go from like most recent results, and then we'll kind of look ahead to some of the World Cup results that are the games we have coming up later this week. There were two very interesting for very different reason games that happened on Tuesday. I kind of want to start with Morocco and Spain.
Sure.
Because
let's Spain away. Can't spell Spain without pain.
They bring it every time, don't they? And by that I mean pain. They bring the pain every single time, and
to their own citizens.
To their own citizens, not to the other team usually. But that is the second World Cup in a row where they've been knocked out in the round of 16 via penalties. Mm-hmm. I want to say.
Remember when David De Gea didn't make this team because he was bad at stopping penalties?
Mm.
Remember
about
that was
that.
Left off this roster because he couldn't stop a penalty.
Do you think David De Gea would have been stumped by a Panenka? Let me tell you right now, the balls it takes, where you know, if I make this, I send my country to the quarterfinals, and that, and what you decide to do there is walk up and hit the penalty that, if it works, it
You're
is the
genius.
Most badass thing you've ever seen. But if it doesn't, you look like an utter fool.
I guess when you're Achraf Hakimi, you can do that because you're one of the best players in the world.
Hakimi
and you're
is,
full of stones.
Dude, he's that dude.
Did you catch it on the broadcast as well? So he is from Madrid, born
from Madrid.
In Madrid.
Yep.
Parents were Moroccan immigrants. where they went over to Madrid. His mom worked as a cleaner, is what she did. He was brought up through the Real Madrid youth system, and he said, no, I'm not going to play for Spain. I'm going to play for Morocco. I mean, just the amount of drama and passion from him, the amount that that meant to him getting his country into the World Cup quarterfinals, but also knocking out Spain, where he was born, the youth team, the stars that are playing for their team that he obviously has played with through his entire career, and to do that on a Panenka penalty kick.
It's such a cool thing. And by the way, I'm a huge fan of the penguin celebrations.
Oh, sure.
I think it's just Panenka, then a penguin, by all means. Go ahead. Go right ahead.
Go wild.
Go right ahead. But, dude, Hakimi, great. Like, fantastic player. I've been loving as well watching him find his mom after the games heartwarming situation. Like, it's so, again, if you're rooting for Spain because you're just a fan of that team or you're from that country and that's who you root for, fine. Anybody else in the world, I don't know how you weren't rooting for Morocco.
I was nervous.
Oh, yeah, I was too.
I have 0.00% of Moroccan heritage in me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just sweating. While sitting, I should probably see a doctor about that, but I was sweating on the couch for them.
Right. It was, no, man, it was emotional. This is a team that
it's
basically
awesome.
Morocco has said when they're going up against Spain, yeah, we're going to defend. We're going to play you tough, but we are going to defend.
Luis Enrique says, you know what? We're going to go to the FIFA board. We're protest. The game is under protest because they didn't do anything to try and score against us.
That's too good. Yeah, you didn't do anything to try to make us play the way we wanted to play. You know what? As a matter of fact, I think Greg Berhalter should also go to FIFA and complain because the Netherlands didn't play the game the way they wanted to either, for whatever it's worth. Yeah, don't you think a lot of teams could go and say that? Like, hey, this team didn't even try to do the things we expected them to do. How dare they? Yeah, let's all complain about that. I like this Morocco team for a few reasons. One, they do not seem afraid of any moments. Like you mentioned, and Hakimi's not the only one. He's not the only guy on that team that has this situation where he grew up in Spain. There are a couple other players, too, that grew up in Spain but decided to play for Morocco. The history between Spain and Morocco, by the way, just from a cultural standpoint, I mean, go look up Christianity and Islam and all of the things that happened with Spanish Christianity and North African Muslims and, Go have a day. Read a bunch of books about that. This had a lot riding on it.
The countries are separated by 8 miles.
Yeah. And then they have a massive history.
Of course.
Two different world religions and wars have been
different
fought.
Different people.
Different. Yeah, everything. But also, there are lots of people who grew up in Spain who are of Moroccan descent and who claim Morocco as their homeland. And like Hakimi and like other players on that team, they could have possibly represented Spain, but chose instead to represent Morocco. And then this moment happens where, sure, brilliant game plan. Most exciting game I've ever seen? No.
It was dreadful.
Dreadful game.
It was horrible.
Dreadful game. But what's the goal here? To make pretty soccer that everybody goes, wow, they played really, that was open and fresh and fun, as they lose 3-1?
Right.
Or would you rather advance? I'd rather advance. And so they get to that stage where they finally get to penalty kicks.
I knew. I think I either tweeted this or I texted you. Like that goalkeeper,
Bono. Yeah.
I thought he was Irish. Anyways, that's a different Bono, probably.
He is now the second. That Bono that you're referencing, second most famous Bono in the world. This is the new Bono right here.
This dude. By the way, we can get into Spain's problems as well.
Yes, I'm pretty sure.
We said during our World Cup preview, like, yeah, Alvaro Morata, how much are you trusting him? Like, their midfield's great. They possess the ball. They don't have anybody that can score. Like, that seems like.
And that was what. I mean, how many passes did they complete? Over, like, 1,200 or something? Yeah, ridiculous
whatever
number?
Whatever it was, it was going to be ridiculous. So, Bono making saves out there, dealing with a little bit of drama on his back line. Ball almost gets put into his net a few times. After every single play that went by him or the ball went into touch or whatever, you saw him smiling. And I'm looking at that, I'm like, it's a guy who's just enjoying the hell out of representing his country at the World Cup, and I enjoy that. And just making Spain's time a big pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And to be fair, he didn't have to do a whole lot, but when he did, I mean, he was very good. He obviously got called into question during penalties, which he was terrific in that. But at some point in this game, and I don't know if it was in regulation or extra time or whatever, I think I tweeted this out. I'm like, the dude's smiling, making saves. I'm like, he is just trying to drag his team And so are the Morocco defenders and their midfielders and everybody who is dropping back behind the ball. They're just trying to drag their teams to penalties right now. And that was obviously their goal. Now, they had a few chances on a breakaway to score and, like, go totally against the grain with the run of play and be able to get that done. But he was smiling. I'm like, boy, if he gets the penalty kicks, like, that's not a keeper that I'm going to want to face. Just, you could kind of see his mindset. Like, hey, man, we have nothing to lose. We're Morocco against Spain.
Yeah.
And so, in the way that this game is being played, if we get the penalties and I can somehow save one, maybe two, then all of a sudden we're going to be off to a great start. And boy, was he tremendous.
Yeah, he was, man.
Save two, one went off the post.
Well, but he had that one almost pretty much covered too. Yeah. He guessed right on all three of them.
When's the last time, and I don't have this number in front of me,
I have no
that
idea.
A team was in penalties and did not make a single one.
Well,
in a World Cup.
When did Japan play? Because it feels didn't Japan get into that?
I think they got one.
Okay, right, fine. But like that, no, but that's you're right, man. It was.
And it's the same issue for Spain again.
And Spain is sending on players in the 118th minute to take penalties.
So
and those
Morocco.
Guys are missing them.
And that guy missed,
right. I don't understand that. That's a whole different logic and argument about why you do that for these guys. I know because these guys are tired, but. You're sending in guys to come in to be fresh, but maybe they're a little too fresh. Like, the game has not come to them at all. They have not, like we've talked about, man, sometimes, like with that Pulisic miss, you know, early in the game. Like, sometimes you have to grow into the match a little bit. And when you get 3 minutes to do that, and then you basically stand around for 5 minutes till they call you up to the biggest stage of your life.
Hey, man, no worries. Just the pressure of an entire nation is on your shoulders.
Yeah, especially, I think it all gets mental, too. It snowballs after the first guy misses.
Oh,
and then
course.
Everyone just starts. And then their guy makes it, and then suddenly Spain's got to figure that out. But no, on that Bono situation, one more thing on him, and we can talk about Spain. I was so impressed with him. And again, not a goalkeeper. I don't know the ins and outs of what you're supposed to do. But on that first one he actually saved, I believe the one, because the first two went to his left, the shooter's right. And then I think it was the third one that went the opposite way. And he guessed right on all three.
Yeah. Sarabia missed. Soler, it was saved, and then Busquets, it was saved.
Yeah. So Busquets, I think, is the final one that went to the
keeper's left.
Oh, it was the keeper's left. Okay.
I don't know.
Whichever one. Okay. The first one he saved that went to the same side where the ball hit the post, whichever one that was, if you go back and watch Bono in that moment, he fakes to his left and then jumps like he's going to go to his, like plants his feet like he's going to go to his right. And that is where whoever shot it goes, I've got him. I'm going to get him going back to his left, my right. And then he knew the whole time it was like a double move and still got to, like, he faked Spain's shooter into going the way he wanted to with a double move and then still made it and got there.
I hate the hop skip penalty.
I do too.
But
oh, God.
May have worked out in that situation.
Well, it worked out for Morocco, but I'm telling you, man. Yeah. And, like, I know Hakimi did the, you know, Panenka and that kind of thing.
Ziyech with a beautiful penalty as well.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? At some point, though, man, like, for those Spain shooters as well, like, run up and hit the thing. You know what I mean? Like,
did you hear Clint Dempsey after the game?
No,
probably not. I know
it.
That you were on the air. And he goes, man, this surprises me because Spain's good at passing. Just pass the ball in the net real hard. I was like, it's perfectly illustrated, Clint. Thank you.
That is Nacogdoches, Texas right there coming at you.
Pass the ball really hard.
And then what do they probably do? Throw to Tom Rinaldi, who was like, the Spain players just wanted it less. That's what I've learned from Tom Rinaldi. Mm-hmm.
It just means more.
I feel bad for Beam because you've heard me do this off the air like a dozen times now, but I'm going to do it once on this podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, Tom Rinaldi can go to hell. No offense to him.
Tom doesn't know what world he's living in.
No, I know. They've sent him to 9 different locales to do like this, and then the OSU Michigan game, and then he's going all over the world doing all these different things. But maybe every player in the World Cup wants it, and it means a lot to them. You don't have to do that for every player you profile of like, for Cristiano Ronaldo, it just means more. No, it doesn't. It probably means less for a guy like that than it does for anybody else because he's been in so many big moments. Stop saying this about every single person you talk about. It's constant. That's his only, I know that's his fastball. Like, that's like asking Nolan Ryan to start, like, throwing changeups when he's 45. Like, Nolan Ryan's got fastball, and that's what he has. Like, that's Tom Rinaldi. I get it, but some of the coverage for Fox has just been abysmal. Like, I wish I spoke Spanish. In fact, this is motivating me to get back to learning Spanish. I took a few years in high
school.
Yeah, I have to, because I
heard us Duolingo streaks at like 900 or something.
Good for her. What is it, Spanish?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see.
Spanish minor in college.
Oh, I didn't see. I didn't even know. Then I will come over to your house and we will watch Spanish language broadcasts. And if I ever actually need to know what's happening, I will ask her. Because honestly, I can't stand watching the English language broadcast from Fox anymore. It's gotten tough. Not necessarily the commentators, although whenever I hear Ian Dark calling soccer, I'm like, oh, I remember you. That was good. You were great. John Strong, or what's his, is it John Strong or John Champion?
Sure.
Champion Strong?
John Strong Champion? Strong Champion.
Whatever. He's fine. Stu Holden, I have a soft spot for because I always liked Stu Holden as a player. I wouldn't say that that's the strongest commentary duo I've ever heard, but they're fine, right? But Ian Dark and Landon Donovan.
It's so different.
I'd much rather have those two as the number one crew.
I love Gus Johnson calling basketball and football.
Yes.
Gus Johnson calling a soccer game is not correct.
When that was happening, it's not okay.
It's not correct.
Well, you know what? And I'm sad that I'm blanking on her name. Another great, I think they've done a good job. And of course, you barely get to hear. She was on all the 5 a.m. games, but the British broadcaster that they had, who is like a pioneer of broadcasting for women, because she has called a lot of games over in England, called a lot of big matches, was one of the first women to do that. She's been doing this for like 20 years, but they have her paired up with Barton. Wayne Barton, is that guy's name?
Warren Barton.
Warren Barton and Wayne Barton. I'm just making up people.
Wayne Rooney.
Wayne Rooney. Warren Barton. Yeah, Warren Barton. That's right. And I can't remember who he's paired with, but they've been great. They have a little bit of...
Jackie Oatley,
yes. They've been awesome. And again, I'm the guy who says I don't always need to have a British accent. I don't think I do. But...
Let's do a game. Let's me and you do a game.
I love that. You know,
you can be the play-by-play guy. I don't want to do well.
But what is a lot of the play-by-play boiled down to nowadays? It's like Ziyech,
Hakimi.
Right? Yeah. Like that's 90% of it. Yeah. So I just we'll do that. That's fine.
By the way, real another aside. I know we're super off track now. I was driving to Dayton for Thanksgiving, and on Sirius XM they have ESPN FC. Which they always do like live radio broadcasts of games. And I'm like, oh, perfect. I'll listen.
Beautiful.
It was the Belgium Canada game, is what I was listening
to. What's wrong
with that? You know, I was driving down to Dayton. I'm like, sure, I'll turn this on. It's first half. And then I'll get back in time to watch the last 20 minutes or so. And so SiriusXM ESPN FC was actually saying, like, hey, if you are wanting the Belgium Canada game, we are not providing that for you. You need to go to Fox, like Fox Sports. Their sports radio channel will have it. I'm like, okay, that's very nice of them to do that. That way I know where to go for the game. And I'm listening, and I'm like, is that Landon Donovan? Fox National...
I know.
National Sports does not have a radio channel dedicated to radio play-by-play.
No, they're airing the TV broadcast.
For the World Cup.
Yeah, I know.
And that was a pain in the ass for crew fans for years.
Yes, yes. Oh, dude, trust me. This is full disclosure. Behind the scenes, I had no power to pull this off, but I was determined to look anyway. A few years ago, this was probably a couple years ago this happened, where I started in my head thinking, hey, the World Cup's coming up in 2022.
Yeah, we talked about this.
Yeah. Who's gonna do the radio broadcast? Is there a company doing it? And if so, can we pay to have it on our airwaves? Because we thought, well, it'll be throughout, like, if nothing else, maybe we could throw it on the AM channel, the 1460, but also it'd be on HD2, it'd be on the app, you could listen to it. And we thought that'd be kind of a nice thing for soccer fans. That'd be kind of neat. And we looked into it, and yeah, it was. I saw that it was Fox Sports Radio doing it, and they said in 2018 they did this too. They just pipe in the TV broadcast.
That's horrible.
It's
I don't know what's going on.
I know. It's the same thing what we have on ESPN Radio, which is, hey, let's just put a TV show on the radio. Oh, it didn't work. No one wants to listen to it. Go figure, right? I mean, it's a problem in the radio industry, my friend. It is what it is. All right. Well, now, thank you for bringing that up, because that really ticks me off.
It kind of ruined my day.
It frustrates me, too. I'm sad that you had to experience it that way. I would have told you that that's what you would have had to listen to if I'd have known you were looking for it. But it just, yeah, it sucks.
I would have rather listened to people speaking Belgian.
Oh, yeah, you could probably pick
up
more.
Yeah.
Remember when Iceland made their big run, and that guy that was like, yeah, yeah,
Give me that.
Like, I at least know what's happening.
To that for an hour and a half drive.
I speak no Icelandic whatsoever. I would have listened to that. Yeah, absolutely right. All right, let's talk about the other game that happened on Tuesday, and then we can kind of look ahead to what is going on in the World Cup coming up Friday and Saturday and all the games that we'll have there. So Portugal had to make a big decision when it came to one Cristiano Ronaldo.
Your guy.
So, my guy, you're right. Mm-hmm. Fernando Santos decides, their manager, Cristiano Ronaldo, I don't like your attitude, and we're trying to win a World Cup, and I don't care who you are, I don't care how many games you played, I don't care how special you think you are, grab some bench, and decides to promote Goncalo Ramos up to the starting 11. How'd that work out for old Goncalo Ramos, huh? Worked out okay. Good. Man gets a hat trick in what, his fourth cap? Yeah. I think total. He's got 4 goals in 4 games, 3 of them coming in this one.
Yeah, his price just skyrocketed.
Yeah. Well, I believe he plays for Benfica, yes. But yeah, Ramos gets the
boy
three
it's
goals.
Almost
could
like they
four.
Look like a better team when Cristiano isn't out on the field. It's all, I mean, I don't know anything about soccer. I'm really, all I do is
watch it
here,
constantly and talk about it constantly. Yeah,
I've watched him play for the last year and change at Manchester United, and then all of a sudden he comes out with this big interview with Piers Morgan and says, well, I'm not the problem. Look, I was a leading goal scorer last year. I'm not the problem. The manager before me was the problem. The manager now has got a problem with me. I'm not the problem. This couldn't be me. Oh, Portuguese manager, he's got a problem with me as well. And then you go out and beat Switzerland's ass 6-1.
6-1 without him. Where it was so bad, they had to, when they would cut to him, you could tell after the second goal.
Oh, he
acknowledged, he's like, oh, I'm definitely on camera. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'm so thrilled about this. Got to be a part of the team. But that first goal, he was seething that it was not going. I don't care what he says. He was rooting until Portugal got a couple goals. He was rooting for his team to fail.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then
because you know why? He would have been the storyline.
Yes.
And he still is. But now it's in a totally different perspective.
Yeah. If they would have lost that game to Switzerland and he's not out on the field or he gets subbed in and has a chance, he wanted a chance at the very least to redeem.
Of course he did.
That's the best case scenario, is he wanted to redeem Portugal in the second half.
Let
come
me
in,
save you from the depths of hell.
And then get to show that you never should have taken me out, and I'm going to ride this on to victory in a World Cup, finally get a World Cup. But that's
instead. And they can.
Well, they can, and they don't need him.
No.
They do not. He is surplus to necessity there. He is not needed at all for this team to go forward. But doesn't it kind of make you question how many forwards has Portugal had the last 15 years that might have been capable of doing so? I'm not saying that Cristiano Ronaldo should have never been playing or anything like that. Clearly, he's going to go down as one of the best players to ever play the game. It is between him and Messi, although in my mind, my mind has changed. It used to be I was more of a defender of his. I will not do that. Messi is the clear GOAT, in my opinion, between those two.
Kylian Mbappe is mine.
Well, that's all right. We'll get there. He's got a lot of soccer left to play. All I'm saying is, don't you wonder, I wonder how many Portugal forwards have just kind of never gotten.
Well, they
to
won
flourish.
The Euros without him in the final.
Right. True enough. Yeah. Like, I just wonder how many more guys could have had opportunities to really flourish and grow if. Not that it was bad that they had him. He obviously scored a ton of goals.
Yeah,
for them.
It's just so different with the player that he was 4 years ago to the player he is now. And if anybody has watched him play for Manchester United or you've watched him play for Portugal, so I'm not going to do the whole if you didn't have him 12 years ago, maybe you would have won a World Cup. I don't know. It's just at that point, I don't know. They have a really solid team with what they are and how they do things on the field with and without him. And I saw the same thing at Manchester United. Cristiano Ronaldo, and here's where, we kind of get down to splitting hairs. Undeniably, one of the most vigorous work ethics in anybody that we have seen in soccer. Undeniably, also one of the most talented players that we've seen. And you pair that together, Bone, and you kind of get this unstoppable natural force, right? When you have a player that is in the 1% of talent and also in the 1% of work ethic, you build these monsters. And that's what Cristiano Ronaldo was for so long. And Lionel Messi, you have him over at Barcelona and what he was doing, and of course for Argentina. There was always this playmaker sense for Lionel Messi, right? Oh, I can pass it, I can shoot it, I can dice up a defense, I can do all that. Now, to Lionel Messi's credit, Lionel Messi has understood that, hey, man, I'm getting up there in age. I'm not the player that I used to be. Maybe I should play in a different capacity. Maybe I should focus on passing. Maybe I should focus on getting into areas. Maybe I shouldn't run at defenders like I used to. And his game has changed. I mean, you see that with PSG now, even from just a couple of years ago when he was bagging 50 goals a season with Barcelona. You see that in his game against Argentina. The way they deploy him is so different because he has a willing and a change about him.
Yeah.
Cristiano Ronaldo thinks he's 21 years old, still playing with Manchester United, running at defenders, doing scissors, that he can outpace them. If you saw him yesterday get subbed on where he was 6 yards offside and get tracked down on a through ball that in years past, I mean, he would have been 2 yards in front of the defender, gone over the top, beat him on a race, and had a 1v1 against a goalie, and he's netting that. I'm not here to argue that. But the inability, for whatever reason, for him to get into a mind space and say, you know what? I am aging. I don't have as much pace as I used to. I'm not as quick as I used to be. Maybe I should change my game. Maybe I should be a poacher. Maybe I should just settle into the box and try to do this instead of just trying every single time to get the ball on the outside of the box, try and beat a couple of defenders with moves. Like, it's not, that's not happening. And it hasn't happened for a couple of years now. And that's where you're seeing the detriment. Cristiano, we want you to play the style. You're still really good. He's still really good. When you get a ball on his right foot, more times than not, he is putting that into the back of the net.
Yeah.
But the unwillingness for him to change his mindset and to change his style of play is just become such a huge detriment for him. And he didn't listen to Erik ten Hag. He didn't want to hear any advice that Ralf Rangnick was giving him at Manchester United. And they were painted out to be the villains, right? Well, you can't tell me how to play. And now the Portuguese manager is doing the same thing with his conduct. And now you're riding the bench at a World Cup.
Well, you know what? And on top of all that, what is wrong with, like, yes, Lionel Messi, and I think this is part of what screwed up his thinking, is as long as Lionel Messi's going, he's got to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Tom Brady, not to just bring up Tom Brady or LeBron James, like, LeBron James is chasing guys who aren't playing anymore. You know, he's chasing Wilt. He's chasing Michael Jordan. He's chasing those guys. Kobe, obviously. Like, that's who LeBron is chasing. Tom Brady is not really chasing anyone at this point. He's just chasing his own dumb brain. But, like, he's just doing what he wants to do because he's just ultra competitive. I feel like Cristiano Ronaldo, you're right, the best result for him and the way he could still be relevant for a good team is to be either super sub guy that comes in and tries to get on the end of headers as you're winning crosses late in the game with tired legs, and you're going to go up and try to still out jump a couple guys who are probably exhausted, and you can maybe, or you can draw a defender to you and maybe another young guy hops in front of it and knocks it down and puts it in. Or there's a scramble in the box and your ball falls to your feet. You're Cristiano Ronaldo. You're still one of the best in the world with the ball at your feet. That's the role for 20, 25 minutes a game for a really good Champions League team he could still do.
Of course.
For this Portugal team, that's what his role could be. But you're right. Instead, he insists on standing over the ball on the free kick as opposed to being the guy in the box messing it up. And what happened? He had a free kick.
Right into the wall.
Like, it was so comical to watch where he's standing over.
Well, you knew it was going to happen, too.
Yes, of course you knew it was going to happen because he sucks for him. He sucks for what he could be. And it sucks that, honestly, for those who wanted to try to give him every benefit of the doubt, I know he has had some rough stuff, obviously, with his family. And it's horrible situations he's had, you know, losing a daughter and all this stuff. I can't imagine. But I also, in that same breath, we have to separate all that from a guy who, if he ever once painted himself as someone who didn't constantly feel like he was being aggrieved by world soccer, when pretty much all of world soccer has given him everything he could ever want.
Yeah.
That's where I think people lose it with him, is that he acts like when he's hanging on to something that doesn't exist, he's still the one getting screwed over. It's like, screwed over? You're getting every opportunity. There's not a lot of guys that would still have that chance to play for Portugal at this advanced stage. Well, unless you're Pepe, in which case, you can still get it. Because that dude, I'll tell you what, man, he's 39. He's running laps around Ronaldo at this point as far as what their jobs are and what they do.
Yeah.
Pepe can still play. Like, he is still a solid defender after all these many years, many great years with Real Madrid. And he had a goal yesterday, right? Like, gets up on a header and knocks it in. That wasn't for nothing. But I'm just saying, like, It might even be a little bit of that where he looks around and sees, hey, there's some guys that I've been playing with this whole time that are still out here. But you're not getting it done the way they are.
Did you see what came out today? Soccer Podcast Day Wednesday, day after Portugal's 6-1 victory over Switzerland. So their manager said, all right, everybody who didn't play yesterday or was a substitute, we're going to have training. Everybody who was a starter, it's recovery day. Cristiano Ronaldo said, well, I didn't start, but I'm having a recovery day because I don't need to train with these guys. It's just, it's
like, is why everyone has turned on this guy or for years.
Don't tell that to the Fox broadcast though.
Oh God, they're so, well, again, cause they're so dumb. Like the way they,
about Portugal as a good team.
Yes. Don't talk about the whole storyline. They even had graphics up yesterday that they're like Portugal, Switzerland. And it was like, Ronaldo's not starting. And the graphic they have is of Cristiano Ronaldo. It's like, I know he's the biggest name on their team, but you better learn right now that there's more there. João Felix is a guy you could put on there. You could certainly put your guy, Bruno, right? He's got to be on the mix. Like Silva. Bruno Fernandes. Yes, there's so many guys you could show for this team. But no, they're going to keep running that storyline into the ground. And I get it. Like, it's a big storyline that he wasn't playing. But that doesn't, then maybe you...
How about an assist and 3 goals from your backup striker?
Yeah, how about that? And he could have had 4 goals, 5 goals. He was all over the place, man. That's such a great story.
And to be fair, at 12:41 p.m., I texted my friends that I'm in a Manchester United group chat with when it was announced that Cristiano Ronaldo wasn't going to play. I said, listen, Manchester United need to sign this kid because he's an absolute stud. And then you know what? Goes out, scores 3 goals in a World Cup. Now, it's not really breaking news because he's been very good for Benfica. But still, I'm like, he's going to get an opportunity. And he plays within the system. And they're going to go out and just go nuts.
And they did. They have
it's like the
really
manager is managing his team well.
Go figure. As opposed to he's trying to say Cristiano Ronaldo first, everything else second. That's what Cristiano Ronaldo wants. And now this is two managers that have had to deal with him in the last 6 months who have said, no, I don't need to do that. And what has improved? The team's play has improved as soon as that decision is made that we don't need to turn the whole roster over for him and change everything we do just for this guy.
Crazy.
Yeah. So looking ahead, Friday.
Have fun in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I don't believe that's happening. I know that because the report was that he signed, but then it came back that like he hasn't yet. I think that whole Saudi Arabia thing was like, you know, I could go get $500 million if I really want to, guys. I'll do it. And then his hope, I'm quite sure, was that someone would see him with all this Portugal stuff and see him in the World Cup and then go, oh, well, maybe we bring him in as like a sub or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you can't do that, though.
Right. But I think he was looking at it as like, I'll really go do this unless someone makes me a better offer.
Okay.
And no one so far is biting on that. And now you're getting dropped from the starting 11 and it's just blown up in his face. And I think this is the only chance he has to salvage this is if he comes back and says, I've embraced the role of playing.
I believe it when I see it.
Right. That's the only way he can salvage this and possibly get himself on a Champions League or some type of decent team that isn't going to pay you $500 million just to go sit in obscurity. But yeah, if he wants to play on a real team, that's the role he needs to embrace. We'll see if he does. I doubt he will. Let's look at the Friday matches real quick and the Saturday matches, and we'll take a break. So Croatia's taking on Brazil, and all of world soccer will have to weigh in on whether or not Brazil is dancing at appropriate times.
Jesus.
Good Lord. What a dumb discussion.
Isn't that their culture? Last time I checked,
culture,
they walk into a stadium beating drums and like they're the samba artists.
Yeah,
this is like, what they do.
That's what Brazil, teams struggle constantly. The U.S., Greg Berhalter had said this when he took over the U.S. job. I want to give the American players, I want to change the way American players are viewed. I want to change the way people think about American soccer and our identity and how we play. And you could argue to some degree, I think he was successful at doing that because it used to be the U.S. was counterattack and sit back and absorb tons of pressure and get you on the counter and hopefully Landon Donovan scores a goal. And now, or Clint Dempsey. And now that's changed to, hey, they can actually, with possession, go at you a little bit.
Except against the Netherlands.
Well, they had possession. They just couldn't do anything with it. Growing steps. You have to continue to grow into that, right? Brazil, you know their style of play.
Brazil has the most in your face,
well-defined style of play of any team I've ever seen. And it has persisted since I've been alive.
Yeah. But made me fall in love with the game, yes. The way that they play.
And that's not to say that every Brazil team now plays exactly like teams from 50 or 60 years ago.
Richarlison was throwing it back with his goal.
Oh, man. How about the tiki-taka on that, man? Just the
seal dribble.
Oh, it was beautiful.
1-2 passing, boom.
And you, like almost stepping over the pass that is the pass before the pass. Like, oh, it was just gorgeous.
I was watching it in my house. I screamed. There's nobody in my house. I just yelled.
It was gorgeous soccer, man. And that's what Brazil does. But you know what? Again, Brazil defends like crazy. They are one of the toughest defenses to break down in this World Cup. So good luck with all that. You've got a midfield that can get the ball whenever they want it and put it into dangerous spaces. You got forwards who can score however they want to. You can play really close quarter soccer in the final third. No problems there.
And Croatia's going to have to do that.
Croatia's going to have to. It is. I mean, Croatia would be smart to be compact and try to absorb as much as they can. Yes, that's what they like to do. But Brazil is, to me, the clear favorite in this game. Clearly, and I love Luka Modric, and I love that he's again one of these aging guys who's had to change what he does with his team. You cannot build everything around him anymore. Certainly not. He's not been that player for a while, but still, he's got the type of shot that if they get a chance in the final third, yes, he can make you pay. But they've got a lot of guys on Croatia who are very talented and can hang with Brazil. This is not going to be an easy game. Brazil is just playing at such a high level right now. It'd be hard to see any other way for a team to get around them.
And they have Neymar back, which seemed to help.
Yes, that does seem to work well.
Although I heard that they played better without him on the field. I'm not sure I agree with that.
I don't really agree with that either. I think I think we saw the difference when he comes back on the field. It's another team. It's a whole nother level. The other game you have on Friday, the late game, Netherlands taking on Argentina. This, to me, is a big-time moment for Lionel Messi to once again like start planting the foot and taking the steps to win a World Cup. Because the Netherlands, as much as we saw what they looked like against the U.S., they look very tough. I think a team that is not afraid to play, the Netherlands cannot roll out the strategy they rolled out against the U.S.
No.
Argentina will say, thank you for giving us the ball. We will gladly take you up on that.
We appreciate
it. We will
it.
Break you down.
Yeah.
And that's not just because of Lionel Messi.
See what Louis Van Gaal has in store.
Right. Yeah. This is where now he's got to make the adjustments. He said after the first half, he was not happy with the way that the Netherlands played, even though they had a 2-goal lead because he said he didn't think they should have given up that much of the possession, which I don't know if that's just him sandbagging or trying to rewrite this thing afterwards. I really don't know. But either way, that's an interesting thing to keep an eye on from him. The Netherlands do have the ability to change the way they play and modify it based on the opponent. So does Argentina. They both are, well, these are teams that are well-schooled in being
able
to do this.
It's like they're world-class teams at the quarterfinals of a World Cup.
Yeah, that's going to be an excellent game, too, is what I'm trying to say. I think Argentina wins it, but that's going to be a fun game. And I think that one has a little bit more of a chance to be an open game than what you'll see against Brazil. I think Brazil's going to have 80% possession, and Croatia's going to have to try to weather the storm. Netherlands-Argentina, I think, could be a little bit more back and forth. Saturday games, we know about England and France. That's one for the ages right there. England, all of this promise that England has and all that they've talked about.
They look really good.
They've looked really good, but their goal is not to look really good and bow out in the quarters. Their goal is to win a World Cup and to now have a chance against the defending champs, albeit a damaged defending champs.
They didn't
look
too damaged in their last game.
No, man. France is playing as well as anybody in this tournament right now. That game, England-France, will be an absolute banger. Tons of talent on all sides of the field. Kylian Mbappe, still the most dangerous man in soccer. And when he gets it going, there's not many teams that can stop him.
Kylian Mbappe, world-class player. Breaking analysis here, Bone and Beam United.
I agree with you what you said earlier. Best player on the face of the planet right now.
When he plays for PSG, he is really good. Like, top 11 player.
Yeah.
When he plays for France, I don't know what you do to contain him.
He's all galaxy.
Literally.
Like LA Galaxy.
Like one of the.
He should sign him. He's right up there with David Beckham as far as their all time great.
He is the best player on planet Earth when he dons those blue uniforms.
Yeah. Yeah. So England has to stop the best player on planet Earth.
Good luck.
Good luck with that. I mean, they have the firepower to do it.
We picked England in this game in our World Cup preview.
Yeah, we did.
Do you want to change that?
No. My whole argument there was that I thought France was too damaged.
And now?
I don't know who does England have up top? that can provide you the goal scoring.
Harry
if Kylian
Maguire.
Mbappe gets two. No. If Kylian Mbappe gets two goals.
Harry Maguire. Headers.
Yeah, right. That's, I guess. We'll see.
Marcus has been playing great. Saka has been playing great for them. Harry Kane got off the schneid. You had Hendo with a nice little breakaway. They've been good. They've been very, very good. But I don't know, man. Just France in a World Cup with Kylian Mbappe on their team. It's going to be a great game, I think. But the winner of this game will be in the World Cup final.
I think you're right. Because Morocco-Portugal is the other one. And we just talked a lot about both those teams. Morocco, I feel like, can play with anyone right now. Their confidence level is off the charts. They know what they're doing. They are not afraid to play
this
style.
It's going to be the same thing that they played against Spain.
Yeah, they
are.
Roll it out. They're going to say, go ahead, Portugal. We dare you to break us down.
Here was a tweet from MLS Gone Wild, which is a very good follow on Twitter.
Yes.
Morocco have conceded one goal in their last eight matches. That's 750-plus minutes of not conceding.
It's amazing.
I mean,
they're on a run right now as far as – and I don't – again – it's a high wire act to play that style at the World Cup, right?
Is.
I mean, especially now you saw with Portugal and Switzerland, by the way, we didn't spend a lot of time talking about the actual game, but Switzerland got completely outclassed there where they just had no answers. And the thing that Portland does this too. No, Portugal did in this game. They drew Switzerland out of their shape. They drew them out of the formation they wanted to play, much like the Netherlands did to the U.S. Portugal was able to lure Switzerland into bad moments and bad spots. And that, I mean, they just were able to almost, it was like they had the Swiss defenders on strings and were just be able to like, I'm going to pull this guy out of position. He's going to chase too far. Boop, slip the ball right in behind him. Now there's all this space. Now everyone's got to overcommit and goal.
It's like their defense was their variety of cheese.
Yeah. Look at you.
Look at me.
Look at you making the comparison.
This podcast has been 41 minutes long, and it just took me that long to get to the punchline.
Beautiful.
You're welcome, America.
So, does Morocco, are they too made of Swiss cheese? Or will they actually be able to hang with this Portugal?
If Cristiano Ronaldo plays, Morocco wins. If Cristiano Ronaldo does not play, Portugal wins.
There you go. Be brave, Portugal. Don't put him in. You know the drill. Yeah. After those games, the next games will take place on Tuesday, December 13th. So we got a little layoff again after this weekend. Yeah, we've got some good games on Friday and Saturday. Looking forward to watching those. Take a break. When we come back, we will talk about the new man in charge in Columbus in black and gold. That is Wilfred Nancy. We will talk about the Crew's new head coach coming up next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United, brought to you by Zaftig Italian Village.
What a moment!
Now back to Bone and Beam United.
Brought to you by Zaftig Italian Village. All right, so the Crew have a new man in charge. That is Wilfred Nancy. He is the former manager of Club de Foot Montreal.
Which I get why they're named that.
Why do you get that?
Because they're French-Canadian and they predominantly speak French.
Right, but is Foot Club what we call them? I mean, why wouldn't they just be like... I mean, they were Impact CF, I believe, for like club football. Like, I'm just saying they already were the Montreal Impact. Just be the Montreal Impact. Well, whatever. Fine.
It makes more sense for them to be Montreal CF than it makes sense for FC Cincinnati to be Football Club Cincinnati.
That's fair.
Literally how they spell it. F-U-T-B-O-L.
Yeah.
Why?
But at one point, they were trying to make Fußball a thing. Remember with like the German idea? Like,
that's
it was all
better,
stupid.
I guess.
Was, yeah, not much. Not much better. Well, in either case, so Nancy is available in part because of a situation that occurred over the summer with owner Joey Saputo of Montreal, where he went into the locker room, words were exchanged. He was not happy with something. And Nancy, I mean, there's disputed reports. There are some people that say the altercation that occurred was a physical in nature. Some said it was just verbal.
Good.
There's also this, like, that Nancy basically said, I will not come back. I have no desire to be here as the manager anymore after this. And
the man who stands on his principles.
They had to convince him to stay through the end of the season just to see out this team, because they were a really good team this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other reports are that, no, Joey Saputo was going to fire him, but then he waited till the end of the season just because the team was playing so well. Either way,
it was messy.
It was messy, and it was something that had to end. And so you knew Nancy was going to be available. Crew brass made it their mission Tim Bezpachenko said that was their priority target to go out and get as the new head coach, and now he is here. So weird situation that leads to him being available, but he is now available. And that is a very good sign for this Crew team, because the thing Nancy is known for doing in Montreal is developing young talent.
I like that.
Yeah. One of the things that he did, because he came up through the ranks coaching there.
I was an assistant there for like since 2015 or 2016, right?
Yeah, yeah. And he has been like, I think it was at one point in charge of like the U16s and then the U17s and the U20s. And like, so he went up through their academy system as far as managing and building the youth movement there and got them into a really good shape in that way. But then they've also done things like they went out and brought in Jordy Mihaljevic, who was playing for Chicago, and Montreal brought him in.
Okay.
And he was already like a good young player in MLS, right? Well, now they turned him into a guy that they transferred out for like $15 or $20 million. Ooh. Like, so Nancy also was able to take guys who are potential, young talent, good talent, and elevate their games, get them to that next level. Where, yes, then he goes out on a transfer, and you're not totally looking for that all the time. But I think the Crew are certainly, I would guess that Caleb Porter struck me more of being in the mindset of, give me guys who can win in MLS right now.
Yeah.
And I'll make them champions. And I'll yell at them, and I'll do whatever I've got to do. Nancy seems to be more of the mindset of, give me guys who could be world-class players eventually, and I will get them to a lot closer to their potential. And then that might mean they leave here and go somewhere else, but the Crew front office's stated goals have been obviously to win trophies, but they also want to be able to transfer some players out, make some return on the investment that they have in their youth academy. They have a lot of talented players. So this seems like a guy that fits a lot of those boxes and checks off a lot of things.
So as just like a pure soccer fan, I understand both lines of thinking and lines of theories, right? I mean, take it from me, right? Manchester United fan. Like Manchester United at a different level than what would be, I don't even know, let's take for example Bournemouth, right? Or whatever other these clubs that are in England, you know, scratching and clawing, staying in the championship, maybe getting dropped down to League One. So at one point, like you've got this world-class club who are looking and identifying, and doesn't matter the dollar amount, we're going to spend X amount of dollars and become champions. Like, yeah, sure, that's fine. But for the fact that if you're a fan of this team and knowing that some of these players are going to be homegrown talent and a lot of now, I wouldn't say pressure, but a lot of expectations and a lot of excitement for the Crew 2 players who just won the first MLS Next Championship this past year. That's exciting to me.
Yeah.
Like that is very, very exciting to be able to see like a guy come in who is maybe not necessarily from Columbus, but comes in from a different country. Okay, cool. We're going to put you in our academy for a couple of years. We're going to see how you grow into this team, and maybe you can become something else, and maybe you can go on to be onto the, you know, a bigger world stage or whatever. And you don't want to do that with all your players. Of course, you would like to keep your best players here in town, but that's just not the way that the business works. And so for me, watching that happen and watching the youth and development grow, and it's so out of the ordinary from what we saw with Caleb and the way that, you know, he kind of identified his system and the way that he ran things. It's just, to me, the word I would describe it is fresh. It just seems fresh, and there's this whole new mindset and ability to be like, well, we can do this and we can do that and we can change the way that we play, and if we need a result, we can do this, and if we have different players who want to get a shot, perhaps in a midweek match, sure, we're going to throw them in there. And so it just, I guess the excitement and fresh would be the words that I use to be able to describe this, because you've lived in a world for so long where that wasn't necessarily the case.
I agree. And the other part of this, I think, that bears some mentioning. Now, I'm guessing Nancy doesn't get offered this job and doesn't take the job if he didn't see eye to eye with Bez and ownership on what you're going to do with Cucho Hernandez,
mm-hmm.
you know, what you're going to do with Lucas Zelarayán. These are guys they have committed a lot of money to. And in the short term, meaning the next couple of years, that's who the team is going to be built around.
Yeah, as it should.
As it should be. But I think the beauty of this is over the next 5-6 years, I would not be surprised if you see this team become more of like what a college football team is, as opposed to, say, like a Super Bowl winning NFL team, where they're going to say, yeah, every 2 or 3 years, we are going to lose a couple of really good players, and the next guys up are going to be ready to go, and they're not going to be slouches. They're not going to languish on Crew 2 and score bangers in Crew 2, but then they get up to the top and they can't really do as much. Like, I don't think that's the level that we're looking at here. I think Nancy is going to take a very different approach to the club system, to the academy system, and try to build this thing from within while also acquiring, like, again, Montreal, they had 65 points this year.
Yeah.
They damn near made a run at the Supporters' Shield. There's a reason why he was in the running for Coach of the Year. They got a lot out of this team and brought in some young players that he immediately had turned into, pardon the pun, impactful players for this team. So that is something that he will also be expected to do and take the guys who are there and get the most out of them. It's not all about youth development, and it's not like they're going to play 19-year-olds every time.
Sure.
But it's the idea.
I think a nice marriage of youth players and experienced players would be fantastic to see.
Look, man, they just shipped out our tour.
Yeah.
Aiden Morris, it's your time. And that's a development that...
Derek Etienne, gone.
Yeah, right. Like, you've got guys now, young guys, played on Crew 2 that are going to have to come up. And Aiden Morris didn't play on Crew 2.
Sure. I know
my point being, they've got talent that's young that needs to grow and continue to develop. So let's see how he does with that. The other thing to keep in mind here, formationally, a lot of times Montreal went three in the back.
Love that.
They were a 3-5-2, 3-4-2-1, depending on how you wanted to slice it. He would kind of flip-flop between those two. Now, that could be based on the personnel they have, but just keep that in mind as well, where this team has not had necessarily strong wingbacks in the way that, you know, we used to.
Mm-hmm.
Pedro Santos is obviously gone now anyway, but even that was kind of not the fit, right? He was more of a winger who they just converted to left back. Now you are either going to have to go out and either he's going to play more of a traditional four in the back type of lineup, or you're going to see something very different from this team. And then that means maybe they don't need to go out and get another stud left back. Maybe they do something else with the bulk of midfielders that they've had through here, but the roster's going to look different and they're going to have to figure that out. But I'm excited about the Nancy era. I look forward to seeing what he can do.
I was excited to listen to his press conference yesterday when he got introduced. And I think just hearing him talk about the stadium and the atmosphere and how he got goosebumps of standing on the pitch and how it reminds him of some of the best stadiums in Europe. Like, how much is that to rah-rah the fan base? How much do that? Do you really think? I don't know, but I fell for it. Like,
well, I did too.
Hook, line, sinker. I'm like, yeah, because I felt that same exact way when you walked into the stadium for the first time. And you can imagine, I mean, he came here as a coach. He knows exactly what this stadium possesses in the Nordic, and when it gets on its best atmosphere, what it can be. And bringing in a new manager and a guy who wants to bring that and wants to bring, like, it hasn't been the fans' fault. You know?
No.
Fans have been, I think, in full throat. Very, very well. Maybe there's a curse on the new stadium. I don't know kind of what's happening over there at the Death Star. But, yeah, it was very cool to hear him talking about being here and how neat, just unbelievable it was to get this opportunity. And I think that's awesome.
Maybe the curse is that you keep calling it the Death Star.
Maybe.
It's like, I mean, that actually did not work out for the Death Star.
No.
Multiple times. So maybe we need to find a different name.
What do you want me to call it?
I don't know. Millennium Falcon. That seemed to have a pretty good run.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I don't know. Here's what I do know, though. Last thing on this. There was this line that Bez had about Nancy is very much about aesthetics, and he very much looks at, you know, the stadium and all that stuff, and then looks at, I guess Bez had a line, or maybe Nancy said it, that when they first looked at the stadium, Nancy says, you can't play like boring soccer here. You've got to play good soccer. You've got to play attractive soccer. This has got to be
I'll take it.
Right. It's like, I'm not saying that I want to win. And if you win by playing, you know, Atletico Madrid style soccer, while that would make me want to gouge my eyes out, I want to win trophies.
I'd be out.
I know you would be. And that's what I'm saying is I think the majority of fans go there for an experience that they can say that was fun. Yeah, man, it was 2-2 and it was back and forth. And it was like, that's going to bring eyeballs. And yes, you need to win the majority of those games, not come back with two in the final 2 minutes to try to tie it up to salvage a point. You need to go out there and win some games. But if they can play some attractive soccer while doing it, I think they've got some personnel that can make that happen. So I'm excited to see what Nancy cooks up for this team as we get going. All right, that's it for us. We'll be back next week with another episode or two talking about what happened, probably recapping what went on over the weekend. We'll do all that. And winding down our year here on Bone and Beam United. Thank you guys for sticking with us all through 2022. We appreciate it. Follow us as always wherever you get your podcasts and on Twitter @BoneBeamUnited. See you next time.